Welcome to the December 15th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 7, and the sermon is entitled, A Delightful Servant, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Go to your Old Testament book of Isaiah. Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter number 42 is where we're going to be today. And I'm grateful as we think about Christmas this year. I can't tell you why, but the Lord has led me through the book, Old Testament book of Isaiah. So we're not necessarily going to read the traditional Christmas story together, but I pray through this Old Testament prophet that you will see a man who is led by God, who understands the hand of God, and also is looking to lead a nation to be faithful to God again. And so I'm grateful for Isaiah and for his prophecy, and I'm grateful that we get to study it a little bit today. We looked last week at the divine Son, and that Son we seen would be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We understand that this child would change the world according to Isaiah. And so today we transition from the divine Son to the delightful servant. So how does this Son become servant and next week become sacrifice? Son, servant, sacrifice. And many times we celebrate this time of year understanding that yes, God came in the person of Jesus as a little bitty baby. But that baby grew up as a perfect human being. And he took upon himself the sin of the world. And he went to a cruel cross of Calvary. He died for our sin. He laid in a borrowed tomb and he was raised on the third day. And that is the reason that we can rejoice this Christmas. It's because God came for each one of us. God came, in my opinion, for the entirety of the world, so that through Jesus, they may be saved. There are a few times in life that you get to witness someone playing the part or in a situation where all eyes are on one individual. Maybe you've been to a recital before and you understand that there's somebody that has the leading part, or there is a song or a solo that stands by themselves and they have to sing that song. God bless them. I don't like that. Maybe you've been to a wedding, and here's the reality of a wedding. They're all eyes are on one person in that wedding. The bride. The groom's just there, okay? But all eyes are on the bride. Here's the challenge of the day. For us as Christians, the challenge is every day. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Every day as you walk with him, not just in the Christmas season. It's easy to gather at Easter and celebrate Jesus. It's hard to celebrate and keep your eyes on him day by day by day. And here's what Isaiah is dealing with. The nation of Judah has taken their eyes off God. And because of that, they are a punished people. And so today, leading up to chapter number 42, if you read chapter number 41, you will see that Isaiah in chapter number 41 is getting on them and calling them out because God says their eyes are on other idols. And despite that, there is promises in chapter number 41, verses 10 and 13 and 14, that God says this in chapter 41, verse number 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And in verses 13 and 14, he reminds them that he is going to help them. Despite their unfaithfulness, here is God's message. I am here and I will help. And so for us today, this Christmas season, how do we put our eyes on Jesus and keep them there, not just for a season, but a lifetime of serving our Savior faithfully? With that said, let's go to Isaiah chapter number 42. I'm going to read all seven verses and we will come back to them and break them down. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. We pray God's blessing upon his reading of his word today. When we think about a delightful servant, the first point that I want to give you today comes from verse number 1. Look at that verse again. It says this, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." The first point today is this, the servant will come. The servant will come. There is a call to attention in verse number 1 as it starts out with the word behold. Now, think of the last time that you watched a sunset. Now, some of you may have to go back a little ways. I understand that. But the beauty of a sunset, at some point, you must stop to take it in. To take in all the beauty, to get the right moment, you've got to stop and behold what is happening. Amen? There are times that we just need to slow down and take in what God is doing. If you are like me, just this past week, my son coming over the mountain said, "Let's stop and look at the mountains." And what did Dad say? "I ain't got time for that. I got to get home." How many of us are missing the work of God because we rush and we are busy with what we consider life? And because we are rushed, we are missing out on beholding what God is doing or trying to do in our own lives. And so for a moment, Isaiah tells a nation, you've got to slow down and you've got to see something. Look at verse number 1. "Behold my servant." If you don't slow down, you're going to miss Jesus. You're going to miss the delight that the servant will bring. The call to attention is not just in this day, but it is in our day as well. Isaiah is speaking. We are told a couple of things that we need to stop and recognize because they are relatable to our lives. The first one is this. Isaiah says this. It is God speaking through Isaiah as he says, "Behold my servant." God says this, "You better pay attention because my servant is coming." Now remember, this is 700 years prior. So you may sit there and say, "That's a lot of waiting, Jeffrey. I can't wait 700 years." Hey, in today's age, aren't we waiting to see Jesus again? I hope you are. In one way or another, whether it's through my death or through his return, I'm waiting to meet Jesus again. And it's not my job to watch the time. It's my job to keep my eyes on my Savior. So we must stop and we must slow down. But notice that God says this through Isaiah. He is my servant. My servant. Today, in a very personal question, can every person in this room claim Jesus as their own? Is he yours? The second thing that Isaiah says is this. This servant would be one whom I uphold. Now remember, these are God's words. God is going to uphold this servant. He is going to take care of him. He is going to give him strength. He is going to give him direction. But also, God is going to trust this servant to carry out his plan. When we think about that in our own lives, do we understand that we are being held up by the strong arm of our Savior? Day by day, no matter what comes, do you know that Jesus is holding you up? The only reason that Jeffrey's life is not a bigger mess than what it is because of Jesus. Because he is holding me up. Well, here's what God said. I'm going to hold up my servant. And I'm going to hold him up in a way that the whole world will know and see who he is. Look again at verse number 1. He calls him mine elect. He is the chosen one of God, the Savior. Jesus would have a purpose. He would have a plan that was given by God Almighty. Now listen. If you are a child of God in this place today, I believe God has a plan for your life. And when you read these words, you should be reminded, not only did God have a plan for Jesus, but God has a plan for your life. Are you obedient? Are you being faithful to God and the plan that he has for you, for your life? We understand that he is a chosen one. And then God says this, this servant would be one in whom my soul delighteth. God's soul delights in this servant. Now, I want you to know that this is not an approval rating of God. Sometimes you feel like you've got to be approved by people, right? This is not an approval rating by God, but it is what pleases God. This servant is going to please God with his entire life, being faithful to God, being perfect because it is God, and carrying out God's plan. So today, can we sit here and say this about our own life? If God was to look at us and our obedience to the Lord Jesus, would he delight in who we are? Would he delight in what he sees day by day? So as I wrote this first point, I'm feeling convicted as all get out, like I've got to meet the mark because there are some areas that I'm falling short. We understand that no one person is perfect like Jesus, amen? But it is our desire to understand that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. I'm grateful today to know that not only does God have a plan and God's soul delights, but God's Spirit would be upon Jesus. He would not only be filled with the Spirit, he would be led by the Spirit, he would be used by the Spirit to minister. And I know that I can take you to when Jesus was baptized, you realize the Spirit descended like a dove. So we see that come to pass. As Isaiah is saying, this perfect servant is coming. It is a challenge for every one of us to continue to know that Jesus has come. We look at this backwards 2,000 years. Jesus has come. But we understand that Jesus is still alive today and working through our lives. What about this servant makes him special to you? My prayer today, as we understand Isaiah teaching a nation that there would be a special servant that would come, they needed to take note of that. They needed to be watchful and ready. And I think today, 2024, we should be ready and focused on Jesus every day as well. Look at verses 2 through 4. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Point number 2 about this delightful servant is this: the servant will not fail. The servant will not fail. We're told that plainly in verse number 4. But part of the character of this servant is that he will not cry out or lift up his voice. You see, what Judah would wait on, they wanted a military king. They wanted a military ruler. They wanted somebody to come on scene and to sweep and defeat nations and cause Israel to rise back up and be the dominant force that they had been. That's what the people were waiting for and hoping for and even looking for. But here, Isaiah says the ultimate example of a servant will be one that by the Spirit's work doesn't have to shout to the top of their lungs or doesn't have to demand or raise his voice. He doesn't have to be at attention when all the people are around him. What a great example, and what a great, great example of the servant Jesus was. When we think about what we have read and what we know about Jesus, did Jesus ever raise his voice to demand? You may say, Pastor Jeffrey, he flipped the tables over in the temple. That's true. But that's about the extent of his excitement that he would bring. And he only got excited in that moment because God was being blasphemed in the temple. And so it was reason to flip the table. Now today, when we read these words about a bruised reed, look at verse number 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Those things that have been hurt or crushed are about to go out. You think about a bruised reed. Many people, me one, including, if I see a flower, if you will, that is bending over and broken, I'm just going to take the weed eater to it, okay? Because it's done. But Jesus, the servant, will look at those that were broken and hurt, and he would take with his compassion and his love and his care, and he would reach out and he would minister to them. They said that reed would not be broken. It may be bruised, but not broken. What else about the smoking flax? Look at verse number 3. The smoking flax shall he not quench. You think of something that is just putting off a bunch of smoke. It used to be a fire there. It used to burn bright. It used to be intense. And now it's just a bunch of smoke going up in the air. Many of us would say, just let it go out. It's done. It's over. And yet there would be the servant that would greatly take care of that smoldering and bring it back to life. This servant would not be disheartened. He would not be discouraged, and he would not be disappointed. All of his power and wisdom would be poured into the people that needed him, that were broken and hurt throughout the years. And God would minister through this servant. Let me ask you this. Does God still minister through Jesus today? I would submit today there are broken and bruised and smoldering people here. And praise be to God that he just say, no, we just do away with those. Praise be to God that when we don't understand it all, that God will still minister to us through the servant that is Jesus Christ. And so today, if you say, Pastor Jeffrey, I can relate to that. I can relate to those people that feel hurt and feel bruised. Maybe you've been hurt by the church before. Here's the promise. Jesus can minister to you. Don't run away. Don't leave, because the servant can take care of you. Look at verse number 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. So in verse number 4, Isaiah is saying this. This servant is not going to fail, but in verse number 5, point number 3 is this, the servant will give life. As now we see Isaiah giving a defense that why this servant is going to be special and what can Israel do? Why should they look to Jesus? Why should they look for this servant? Why should they keep their eyes open? He simply says this, it's not going to be flashy. It's not going to be loud. It's not going to be boisterous. But when the God-man, when Jesus comes, you can be reminded that God has ordained it because he has created everything. In verse number 5, it says, God the Lord, he created the heavens and he stretched them out. So when you look up, every time you look up at the heavens, you must realize that God put it all into order. God spun it into being. And God ordered everything that you are able to see and all that you're not able to see. So as you look up to the heavens, you can see that God stretched them out. Now look at the second part of verse number 5. It says this, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. So as you look down, now put your eyes on the ground, on the earth. Everything beautiful that you see, everything that you see, God Almighty has ordained and created it to be. So sometimes we look up and we see the beauty that the sky offers. And when you look down at the earth, you need to see what God has done there. Everything beautiful that you put your eyes on, Israel, is from the Creator God. I created all of it. That is what God is saying. And then at the end of verse number 5, he says this, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Now we're getting personal, aren't we? We go from the heavens to the earth to the most important thing on the earth, the people. And what in verse number 5 do we see about the people? That God has given them breath and a spirit to them that walk therein. Today you need to realize this. The only blessing that you and I have is the blessing of life through Jesus Christ. He used our mamas and our daddies. He did. But praise be to God that he is the one that gives life. And here's what we need to take a note of. He is the one that puts his spirit into those that are his. To be able to walk on this earth and to be able to look to the heavens, he is the one that gives life. I'm grateful for the word of God. When we see it that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. The same one that created everything in this world, including ourselves, is the one that blesses and will lead a nation out of bondage and captivity. If they will just put their eyes on their God. Today, in 2024, we must put our eyes on Jesus. If we want situations, our world, anything to get better, we must look to our Lord. He is the one that can make it what it needs to be, and we must look to him for it. I'm grateful. The servant would come. The servant would be God in human form, and he would be perfect in every way. So what in our day, what today keeps people from seeing Jesus for who he truly is? I'm glad you asked. Look at verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. As we see the servant will come, he will not fail, he will give life. The fourth thing I want you to see are the orders in which he carried. The servant's orders. Every child of God, I believe, has kingdom responsibilities. Work that we must be doing that carries eternal value. Jesus says these words in chapter 9, verse number 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There is coming a day where nothing will be able to be done. No heart will be able to be converted because it will be all done. When I wrote this sermon, I ventured down the road on a visit that afternoon to a very familiar couple, the Clarksons, Earl and Barbara Clarkson. And I listened to a man who understands that because of life, the better days are behind him. But he so desires, even in the state that he is, with a mind that fails him, to do something for God. And he just said, Jeffrey, I can't do it anymore. But I still can pray and I still can be faithful and read my Bible. There is coming a day where things may not be able to be done or things may have to be done differently. But what we must do is constantly keep our eyes on Jesus. Despite all that is going on, Earl said this, I am your prayer warrior. Praise be to God for prayer warrior. When we think of orders, this servant had marching orders, and I'm going to look at that in just a second, but here's what I want to convey to you. Every believer in this room, I believe, has marching orders from God. And those marching orders are to be carried out until something happens where you're not able to do that anymore. And then when that changes, ask for different orders. Be faithful. Keep your eyes on the Lord. We look at the servant's responsibilities. We know that time is important and we must make the best of every day. As Jesus says, there is coming a day. We understand those words about the harvest being white and ready, and I believe those days are today. But right now, I want you to see a couple of things. I want you to see the call in verse number 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand and will keep thee. Again, the promise that whatever they do, that God is calling them in righteousness to do the right thing in his eyes, as a standard that is set by God, that is grounded in truth, and that is right in the eyes of God. It includes actions, it includes behavior, it includes words and conduct that are in line with the word of God. And that servant came and his life would measure up to all of those things. And today, I believe that we have a call to serve our Savior faithfully every single day. There's a second word. Look at verse number 6 again. It says this, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Part of the orders for this servant would be a covenant, a new way, a different way of salvation than before. The servant would be Savior, not only for those in Israel, but for the Gentiles as well, those outside of Israel. Jesus would be that light unto the Gentile nations, and that is the reason that we can worship today. Many Jewish people, listen to me, many Jewish people fail to see Jesus as God's answer, as God's servant, and as Savior. I love the nation of Israel. I pray for Israel, but there are many that fail to see Jesus for who he truly is. Today, I would encourage you, do not leave this room failing to see Jesus for who he truly is, the Savior of the world. The last word is captive. There's a call, there's a covenant, and then there is captives. Part of the orders of this servant in verse number 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Part of those orders are to set people free. Set people free. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but I'm going to ask you, have you been set free this morning? From the bondage and the shame of sin, have you been set free? This servant would come in such a way that not only would open the eyes of those that would be blind, but those captive in prisons would be released, and those prisoned to darkness would be set free. This servant would work in the lives and situations of people in physical ways, but also spiritual ways. So today, as we wind this sermon down, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Turn with me real quick to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 4. Luke, chapter number 4. Starting with verse number 16, I'm going to read a couple of verses to verse number 20. Speaking about Jesus, here's what verse 16 says. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah. So this is Jesus going into the synagogue to read. And from all places, where does he read from? He reads from the book of Isaiah. Listen to this. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And listen to these words. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Jesus, standing up, reading from what we just read, is declaring to the people, "I am that servant. I am here," as verse number 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He shut the book, he sat down, and everybody stared at him. You remember how we began this sermon? Behold, the moment that that one person has everybody's attention, and we see Jesus has that. As all eyes are on Jesus, I want you to know this. They are fastened on him, knowing something is different. Something is going on. This man is either crazy or he is God. This Christmas season, who are your eyes fastened on? If you take nothing from today's sermon, take two words: fastened on. What are your eyes fastened on? Listen, there's so much good that's happening. We're going to celebrate with gifts and lights and family and food. And I want you to hear me. All of those are blessings. But if you celebrate Christmas without your eyes fastened on Jesus, you are missing it all. So today, Jesus has come. Jesus has conquered. He has set captives free. And the joy in this season is this: Jesus. Church, can we as Christians, as believers, make sure that our eyes are fastened on him this Christmas season? There's so much that can distract you. There's so much that can pull you away. But praise be to God that we can put our eyes upon our Savior. But it doesn't end there. What a great time to witness for your Savior. What a great time to tell the story of Jesus. No easier time, no better time. Look, Christmas has Christ's name in it already. Just point to him, look to him, minister for him, offer the hope that you have in Christ to others this Christmas season. What's so delightful about this servant? Here's Jeffrey's answer. He changed my life. And Isaiah was trying to teach a nation that God could do the same if they would just put their eyes on him. Today, what do we need to do? Right now, as we enter this moment of invitation, what do we need to do to slow down and behold who Jesus truly is? Maybe for a minute you want to sit there in your pew and pray that, "Lord, in the busyness, just help me to slow down." Maybe in the busyness of family, maybe you, right now your family's separated because of the seasons that you're in. Pray over your family. Pray that Jesus be seen throughout your family this season. There's one desire, and that is this. Isaiah had a desire for lost people to see God. And I think that should be our heartfelt desire as a church this season, that lost people see Jesus. As we bow to pray, if you are a believer in this room today, Here's what I'm going to encourage you. And pray for those people that you know that God will put in your path to minister to this Christmas season, with the delight of who Jesus is. Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced the life-changing power of Jesus. Here's what you need to realize. The Bible teaches that we are all sinners, that we all fall short of the glory of God. And so today we recognize that we're all on a level playing field before God. Sin-filled people, just as the people of Israel were. Today, if you understand that you're a sinner, you also understand this: there is hope through Jesus. Nothing you can do on your own, nothing you can do. It is the work of God in your heart and in your life. God can do a work to change you and to save you if you will surrender, turn and repent from that sin, surrender it to the Lord, and turn to Him as Savior. What a Christmas present. What a Christmas present. Today, I don't know what the needs are, but I know me. I am convicted today that I must keep my eyes on Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, today, thank you for a moment in which we gather around your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would orchestrate this time right now as we give it to you. Lord, help us to navigate and to pray through this season, keeping our hearts and our eyes upon you. And Lord, today, in only the way that you can, readjust us if we need that. Get our eyes on you. Get our hearts back in tune with you, Lord, I pray. Whatever the needs across this room, whatever the needs watching live stream, God, I pray, Lord, that you go before and you minister to every heart and to every situation. Lord, for those that need to take time to slow down and remember that Jesus is their focus, God, I pray, Lord, that you will help them do that. For that one that needs Jesus as Savior, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will work and would draw that heart to you, Lord, as they lay down the old selfish man or woman and they long for that new, changed, saved life. God, I pray, Lord, that you will work to bring about that change in lives that need it today. God, we thank you for an opportunity to bow before you. Lord, we pray that you lead us now in these moments of invitation. In Jesus' name.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.